welcome to this special podcast bonus content for InGoal Premium members only. All our podcasts are presented by the Hockey Shop in beautiful Surrey, British Columbia. They have an incredible selection for all players, but you can get straight to the good stuff for goaltenders at thehockeyshop.com/goal.
We are now, this is like another episode, just like Carter Hutton, of not comedians in cars. We are goalies in cars. We are Freddie Anderson. We're a quick trip to meet the boys at the hotel for a little Christmas shopping.
Yep. Gotta get it in when we can here.
Freddie's a little nervous, I think, looking around, seeing if I'm going to pay attention to where I'm driving or
yeah, so far
talking.
So good.
So far, we haven't run over anyone. So I don't even know where to start. I usually start with, this is going to be a quicker trip than usual, but I usually start like, every time I see you, we talk about what's going on in your game now, what you're working on, so many different things over the years. I want to know where it started. That's my favorite question with every guy. Where'd the passion for goaltending start for you?
Started by being born into it. My dad was a goalie in Denmark. His sister, she was a goalie. Her husband, also goalie. Yeah, so big hockey family. Everyone pretty much has played or does play at some point in my family and played some hockey. And my dad being the goalie, he always brought me in their locker room. I would sit on his pads while he was getting undressed, just when he was shooting with the teammates, and just kind of growing up in the locker room. Obviously, I started skating. The second I could walk, basically, he would take me out, push me around on the ice. And then I think I was around 9 or 10 when he finally let me switch. He wanted me to play the positions other than goalie, just to understand the game a little bit and learn how to skate better instead of just standing in net too early. And I thought that's something that's been definitely benefiting me a little bit.
What point did it go from something you just wanted to do to something you thought, hey, I could do this for a long time?
I don't know. That's a really good question, because I never really been a guy who had a plan B or anything where better get a degree or something like that. I just always been having a passion for hockey and wanting to play hockey and never really seen any other outcome or any other option to be doing something else. So
that's a good thing. I never
really knew, like, I was passed on my first two drafts. Wasn't drafted. Finally got drafted the third time. And yeah, cause I had a couple of good games on the national team, and just kind of developed from there. I thought, again, late bloomer, just kind of stuck with it and was able to break through and make the jump through the system in Anaheim, and the rest is probably more public knowledge to people that have followed the NHL.
Before then, though, you went to Sweden. Talk about that decision. What was it like? What was that experience like to leave Denmark and go to Sweden? What was the thought process behind it? And clearly, it worked.
Yeah, again, I was just late teenage years. I think I was just about to turn 20. Again, it was a step up in my career. I had a good couple of years in Denmark, playing well in the Danish Pro League, and that's a pretty natural step for a lot of Danish players to go to Sweden or elsewhere in Europe. And I lucked out getting a really good goalie coach in Sweden, Mikael Andreasson. He really helped out my game, and again had a really good season in Sweden. And that's
onto the destination street.
Battling through this GPS is interesting, but we're trying. But yeah, then having a really good year, I think was part of the reason I decided to go back in the draft and then go see what would happen, because at the time I was about to sign with Carolina. Cam Ward was signed for a very long time and didn't really seem like the chances of being a number one goalie was very high there. And that was the biggest decision that I've made. To go back in the draft, and I knew my agents had looked at depth charts and on the whole league, and had found at least half the league had better options and better chances to for me to make it and get a good shot at being a number one.
So Anaheim,
you was not one of them, actually.
That wasn't one of them.
No, they weren't one of them. It was just kind of, crazy to ironic. Think of. They had Jonas Hiller at the time, very, very good goalie and very solidified as a number one there. They had just signed Victor Fast that I had battled with in Sweden, amongst the top goalies there and in the Swedish Elite League. And then they had, Gibby in junior still, I think, coming up, obviously very, very good, prospect. So they're very, very surprised that they'd pick me there.
So this is kind of embarrassing because this is my hometown. I shouldn't need the nav, but I wasn't 100% sure. And I didn't want to take you like on a wandering tour, like a bad taxi driver, just to prolong this conversation.
No, I'm having a good time here. So
so we got to talk over the nav, but that's okay. Yeah. Let's just go to now. How do you manage the pressure of being the goaltender of the Toronto Maple Leafs? You seem to handle it so well. Even by Vancouver standards, we have a pretty big media group. You guys come into town and it's like three times bigger. What's the hardest part of being in that focus in that spotlight, and how do you manage it?
I think I just enjoy doing what I do. I think at the end of the day, it's about perspective and just trying to realize where you're at and not take anything for granted. It's really, really a cliche. But it's really true to just enjoy what you do every day, and that's what I've been doing since I. Yeah, since I was little and really, I really love doing it. So again, like you dream of it as a kid and you don't know if it's possible yet, but here we are. So
talk to me a little bit about the relationship with Steve. I know he doesn't get, it's because he doesn't get to do a lot of media now, just team rules, and a lot of teams have them where I don't get to talk to the goalie coaches and not a lot of publicly, but you guys seem to have formed a really good working relationship, which didn't surprise me because I remember when this first happened, I think I might have even sent you a note about just, I know you both guys love to work and love to sort of find new things. So walk me through how you built that relationship.
Yeah, he's been great since day one. He didn't come and push anything on me that I didn't really feel comfortable with. He's always looking at new ideas, so he's always trying to find stuff that's going to make me feel more comfortable in that, and not just trying to play whatever he thinks is best. And he's very open to bringing me along in the process and trying to figure out what's best. And I think that's something that a lot of goalie coaches can learn from, and having that cooperation with the goalie and not just, I don't know, be a dictator about what your beliefs are and your thoughts on how to play goals. I think
it's more of a two-way relationship.
Exactly. It's something you gotta
reach your destination in 400 meters.
Oh, gotta wrap it up here soon. but yeah, he's been great. I think he works harder than any coach I've ever seen with video, and he's spending a lot of time helping me out, and I can ask him any question. He'll spend his off day looking through video to find an answer. And he's not gonna, if I ask him something, he's not gonna just fire an answer. He's gonna go back and do research and look into what the real facts are.
Last one. Walk me through like that back and forth on a day-to-day basis. What's that like? What's your day with him? Like, do you guys go over video? Like, is it a conversation? How much do you spend on last game? How much do you spend pre-scout? Like, what is a typical day for you look like with Steve Briere getting ready for a game or coming off a game?
Yeah, it's usually today we went on the ice a little bit before. Usually some puck touches and working on improving that, getting some time bringing the player to help us out with some shots and working on some things. We try to hit a lot of different things throughout. Throughout every week, try to hit a bunch of different type of plays and just feel comfortable. Yeah,
you talk about it going out there.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really tell me exactly everything, and I like it that way too. Sometimes just but he's always got a purpose of what drill he's making and working on that. And usually, I like to see the clips on my previous game, either on the plane to the next game or in the morning the next day, just to flush it or pick something up if there's something. If not, move on.
Perfect, Freddie. The downside is like, it's not like Seinfeld in a car where there's a coffee after. So that means you get to get going. That's actually a positive. You don't have to spend any more time with me. Vet enough. The other upside actually is it's not James Corden, so I don't make you sing.
That's perfect. And I think we lose a lot of listeners if we had to do that. So,
but thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Good touch on the car too. You can use it as a tax reduction right now with the new purchase.
So I literally work in my car. This is taking it to the next level.
Nice office, so I appreciate having me.